I'd like to share with you a scripture. This comes from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 22nd chapter. I think you will find these words familiar. If not, this is one of the passages that's worth memorizing. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher," he said, "which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be doing a series on reimagining generosity. And so we're going to do a cinematic journey with the Donovan family in discovering what it means to live generously. Cinematic, that means movie clip. And so there's five of these, and actually, this one you might even find yourself shedding a tear. Kind of enjoy this. Let's give it a try.
Hi, Evan. Solid plan here, Frank. Got all your bases covered there.
Good. Do you have that workup from last week?
Oh, yeah. Got that right here. Here it is. College, retirement, you name it. Bottom of column C is your total net present value. Cover every expense for life. Stay on track. I'd say that's a realistic goal there.
Oh, well, let's take that and double it.
Double it?
Just to be safe.
You're the boss. New toy?
Favorite toy. It's an old vintage biplane, probably worth a fortune at an auction, but I can't get him to put it down.
Hey, you know, we'd mentioned talking through a charitable giving plan.
Oh, right. Put that on the list for next week.
Will do.
Thanks again for all your hard work.
No need to show me out. I know my way. You enjoy the pool. Bye, Cassie.
Hold on just a second. Goodbye, Alan. No, I think that's a great idea. They're going to love it. We would be happy to do it, Janice. Okay, see you then.
She's still having you go to that thing, right?
That thing would be welcoming back the Davises after 3 years in the Philippines. And no, we're not going to that thing tonight.
We're not.
I said that we could host it here.
Cassie.
Frank.
What is wrong with Janice's house?
If you'll excuse me, I've got a caterer to call. Oh, that looks delicious.
What are those for?
These are some clothes for Lindsay. Janice said that they had to leave almost everything behind. You should pull out some stuff for Chris.
We send him a support check every month. Wait, are we done doing that then?
Ray, you didn't have to do that.
Oh, glad to do it, Miss Donovan. You know, we had a family at our church lost their house on a fire. We had to get together for them, too. Blessed every one of us.
Mom, the Davises have kids, right?
Just one. A boy about Evan's age. Tristan, I think.
So now we got kids coming, too?
Just there some hours.
Yeah, now. It looks like it could just fly right off the page. Zoom!
Why are you bringing stuff in? That's not your job.
No, I just want to.
Why?
Can I show you something? A long time ago, God's people used to sacrifice sheep to show how much they loved him. Right? You know, some folk would give him the best of the best. Right? Big and healthy and white as snow. Some of the folk didn't want to give up their good sheep. So they would give God their Skinny, sick, spotty, and stinky sheep. Yeah. Which sacrifice do you think would make God happier?
The good sheep.
Yeah, you got it. So, you know, I don't have to carry stuff in and all that, but I just don't want to give God any stinky sheep.
What are you doing, Dad?
I'm looking for something to give the Davises. They just got back from the Philippines and they don't have much.
Mom told me to tell you that they're here.
Okay.
Well, it has been so long, and we are so happy to have you guys back, right? We'll be right back because I want to bring you to see Janice. Come on.
Thanks again for hosting this, Frank. It's very generous of you.
Don't mention it. How are you guys settling in?
We're getting there. Tristan here has been quite a trooper.
Hey, I wanted to,
Hi, I'm Evan.
Hi.
My mom said you didn't get to take any toys back with you.
We didn't have room.
Do you like airplanes?
Yeah.
This one's pretty neat. You can have it if you want it.
Thanks.
Wanna go play?
Go on. Wow. You must be so proud of him.
Yeah. Would you excuse me, please?
You said you didn't get to take any toys back with you.
We didn't have room.
Do you like airplanes?
Yeah.
This one's pretty neat. You can have it if you want it.
John, do I have sound? There we go. I know that you've only seen one of these clips so far, but don't you think those are pretty good? Aren't you looking forward to this? I know that when I say we're doing a focus on reimagining generosity, that what you probably think is we're going to do a lot of spending of time talking about money. So you might be surprised to hear me say I'm not going to talk about it at all, but I'm probably going to talk about it a lot less than you think that I will. Not because money is not important, but because when we're talking about generosity, I think money is only a very, very small part of what being generous is really all about. The other day I went to buy a shirt. It was a great deal. It was on clearance, and it looked great on the mannequin. How could that go wrong? So I got the shirt, got it home, and then decided I probably ought to try it on. Didn't even nearly fit. Or in other words, money wasn't the most important thing if you're buying a shirt. I don't think God is after your money. Which raises the obvious next question, what is God after? And there we get to the scripture that we just read from Matthew 22. What is God after? What's the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And then there's another that's just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what is God really after? Our love, right? Our hearts. Jesus here is being tested. A lawyer has just stood up and asked him the question, which is the greatest of all the commandments? Just before this, he was asked another question. If a man was married and then his wife died, and so he married her sister, and then she died, and then married her sister, and she died, and that went on seven times, who would she be married to in heaven? It's a really good question. But obviously they are trying to catch Jesus, getting him to say something stupid. And so they ask him, which of all of what's written in the Old Testament, least the first five books in the law, what is the greatest thing that's said there? He repeats something that every good devoted Jew would have known in those days. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, kind of like we know the Lord's Prayer. But then he does something that would be radical. He changed the prayer. And instead of stopping with love the Lord your God with all your heart and strength and soul and mind, he goes on to say, and love your neighbor as yourself. John Wesley said it this way, how is your heart with God? Or how is it with your soul? In the video here, Ree is the gardener. He's the guy who is kind and generous, seems to have life all figured out. He says here that there's a test that you can use to see how your heart is with God. And there he refers to the two sheep. Remember that? The stinky sheep and the good sheep. And asks, which are you giving to God? Are you giving God the good sheep? Another character in the movie is a guy named Frank. Frank is the dad in the family who seems to have it all, but obviously is missing something really important. Frank is not living generously. It's not that he's mean or thoughtless. His heart just doesn't seem to be into caring for the people around him. And as a result, he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of joy. When he's talking to his financial advisor and the thought of charitable giving comes up, he obviously tries to avoid the question as quickly as he can. When his wife, Cassie, invites some friends over for church for dinner that have lost everything, he seems annoyed that they've been invited over and then annoyed that he ought to have to try to find something that might be helpful to him. When he is guilted into giving something, he finds an old watch that he doesn't really seem to care very much about. Is he an example of somebody who's giving God a good sheep or who's giving God a stinky sheep? The stinky sheep, right? Frank is filtering opportunities through the lens of asking, how is this going to be good for me? Instead of asking the question, how is God wanting to use me in this opportunity? I saw illustration came up this week that I thought was kind of cute. I saw in this week there was a rumor that was going around that Pope Francis has a brain tumor. Did you see this rumor? Apparently there's no foundation to it, but it got me to thinking about a rumor that went around about one of his predecessors, Pope John Paul II. It was Pope Benedict right before him and Pope John Paul before him, that Pope John Paul II had been having heart problems, and at one point it was rumored that he might need a heart transplant. And so obviously mostly Catholics got really worried about him, and many of them gathered outside the Vatican and they would loudly wave their hands and yell, take my heart, Pope, take my heart. Well, the Pope came out on his little balcony and he didn't quite know what to do. And then an idea popped into his head. He decided, here's what I'll do. I'll take a feather. And then he dropped the feather down into the crowd and said, whoever it lands on, I'll give them the opportunity to give their heart. The crowd was still waving their hands and yelling, take my heart, Pope, only this time between the phrases you could hear breathing. So it went more like this. They turned their heads up and they went, take my heart, Pope, take my heart. Have you ever done that with God? Have you ever said to God, take my heart, but then held it back? Have you ever found yourself asking God to take your heart and then not shown it in the way that you treat others? What could Frank have done differently? Frank could have asked, what would Jesus have me do in this situation? Jesus was one with God even from the beginning of time, and so there must have been a point where Jesus and God got together, and I imagine God probably said to Jesus, you know, things are just not going well down on earth. There are people that are really far from me. We've got to do something. What if one of us went down there to talk to them directly? And I'm sure Jesus was smart enough to say to God, well, you know, if one of us did, I know how that'll end. And I imagine God turning back to Jesus and saying, so will you do it? Jesus could have stayed with God in heaven, but instead decided to risk everything for our good. What's your sheep? What's the thing that you have that you can offer to God? Evan had an airplane. Ree, the gardener, had his service. Cassie had the invitation to some friends to come over for dinner. Frank had watches. We all, I believe, have something that we can offer to God. What is your sheep that you can offer to God? Because it gets to the question, where is your heart? Does your heart take joy in the opportunity to God, honor God through giving, or does your heart search through the dusty drawers to find something else that you can give to God? And then the next question is, are you giving God your best? In much of the Israel of the Old Testament, there was a series, an elaborate series system of sacrifices that had to be given up. So that when somebody broke the law and sinned, the way that they could get right with God again was to offer some kind of a sacrifice. And this idea of sheep comes from a passage in Leviticus where it says, you must present a male without defect, a sheep, in order that it might be accepted on your behalf. Do not bring anything with a defect because it will not be accepted on your behalf. Webster's dictionary defines generous as showing a readiness to give more of something than is strictly necessary or expected. I like the story about the chicken and the pig that were walking down the street one day. And as they passed one store, they saw two signs in the front. One said, ham and egg breakfast served daily. And the second sign said, donations accepted. Ham and a pig. Chicken and or ham and egg breakfast served daily. Well, as they walked by, the chicken looked at the pig and said, you know, it says they'll accept donations. I think we ought to offer a donation. The pig looks back at the chicken and said, that's fine for you because for you it's just a small sacrifice. But for me, it involves a total commitment. Are you giving God your best? Frank, the dad, offered a watch that cost him nothing, and as a result, he found no joy in giving it. In the example in the story, Evan, the kid, offered his very favorite thing, his very favorite toy, and we get the sense that because of doing that, he's filled with joy and probably has made a friend for life. Notice that I didn't say here, give the best. I said, give your best. Because that's one of the excuses that I often use with myself and God. I say, well, there's lots of other people that can do this better. Shouldn't they be doing this instead of me? Here we're said, told, give your very best. The story about Evan reminded me of a story about something that happened to Jesus. You'll find it in Mark 12. Jesus is sitting by the temple. He's watching people bring their offerings. A lot of people are bringing elaborate offerings, but then there's a widow that brings two small coins. And Jesus calls the disciples together all excited and he says, she's given out of her sacrifice. She's given the little bit that she had. An example, I think, that speaks to that, giving their heart, giving of all they had and finding God blessing them in return, is a story about an author. Do you know the name C.S. Lewis? First book I read that he wrote was a thing called The Screwtape Letters. But probably what most of us know him for is writing The Chronicles of Narnia. Story is that he was a bachelor most all of his life until the very end of his life. And then he met a woman by the name of Joy Davidson. And they were engaged to be married. They both fell deeply in love. But just weeks before the wedding, she was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. And so they struggled with the question, do we go through with the wedding or not? They decided to go through with it. He was a professor at Oxford. All of Oxford and all of London started praying for her health. But unfortunately, she wasn't given health. A few weeks after the wedding, she died. There was an interview with C.S. Lewis that happened shortly after that where he said, and did you get what you were asking for, what you were praying for? His answer was to say, you might be surprised, but yes, in fact, I did. And so the interviewer said, well, what then did you get? You didn't get more time with your wife. You didn't get more health. What is it that you got from praying for your wife? And he said, I got what you always get when you pray. I got more of. And isn't that the point? To get not what we want, but to give ourselves, our hearts to God. If that's where you are, and if you're ready to give yourself to God, I invite you to do that this morning. If where you are is you're at the point of wanting to give God your very best, I invite you to do that this morning. And it's as simple as just a little prayer that might go something like this. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you for giving us your best in Jesus Christ. Help us to give you our best, for we give you our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.